ask you to turn once again to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Last week I tried to speak to you from the first two verses of this chapter. Today, if the Lord would bless, I would like to concentrate my remarks on the third verse of Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I'm going to read the first three verses, but verse 3 is what I'm after today. Now, before I even read, let me say this is a prophetic passage where Isaiah, hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, before Christ's work, before his labors, I don't know how many, 800 or 900 years before that, he is prophesying about the New Testament church and kingdom that Christ would set up. All those many years in advance of when it came. And it's here spoken of, the church is here spoken of as a walled city, as a fortress, which we mentioned last week. And the church, of course, when I say the word church this morning, I mean the local church, the local assembly. And it's spoken of in many, many different terms in the scriptures. Well, you know, a mother, on and on, a body, so forth and so on. But here it's spoken of as a walled or defensed city. Isaiah 26, 1 through 3. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isn't that a sight? Last week I titled my sermon, Church Salvation. You remember when we're reading the Bible, we've got to always remember that Christ came to purchase our eternal salvation from sin and from hell and from the devil. He came to purchase that, and he did so in his death on the cross. His blood actually did wash away all the sins of all the sheep. Can you say amen? But also, there are many salvations or deliverances that we receive in this life. Deliverance from all these kinds of problems and issues. And a lot of those, you know, every time I think about that, somehow my mind goes to God's moral code. God has told us what's right and wrong, how we're supposed to behave ourselves, right? Well, the Lord didn't do that to be mean to us. He did that as a protection for us, to keep us out of trouble, to keep us out of harm's way. I would even say to keep us healthy. Can you say amen? To keep us healthy. Obeying God's law is good for you. Well, he's speaking here of this church, the local assembly, as this walled city that is a strong city that has salvation for walls and bulwarks. Now, we mentioned last week that the bulwarks are the protection. Cities had walls, inner and outer walls, that went, and these things were to protect that city from attackers, from enemies, okay? And so the church, all these timely salvations and deliverances and protections are for us as we come into the church and live in the church and do what we're supposed to do. And remember, I told you last week, if you're not in it, get in it. You know, when you come inside this city, there's protection in this city. We're not protected outside it like we are inside it. And we need to be in it. Okay. And then, of course, we're also to be thinking about the others out there. I love verse 2 when it says, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the laws of God may come in. So we're supposed to be opening the gates of this city so that God's children, it says here, righteous people, that righteous people can come into the city and participate in this protection and this wonderful city of refuge that we have. So I guess that's enough. Now, so last week I titled my sermon, Church Salvation, the different salvations and protections we receive being part, an active part of a church. And if I had to title this sermon, which I don't know if I should or not, I would title it Church Peace. Because verse 3 says, look at verse 3 now, in the context of all this walled city, in the context of all these protections we get from being in the city, in the context of letting God's people come into the city so that they may receive that protection, in that context, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I was just made to think, could it be that this peace that is here described in verse 3 is one of those bulwarks, one of those protections, one of those salvations that we receive by being an active, steadfast part of the local church? And I say amen. Now, there is peace to be had in being in this, in the church, in a local assembly, is what I mean now. There's peace to be had in that, being an active, steadfast member, I mean on the red hot, on fire for the Lord. There's peace to be had in that, I assure you, that cannot be had out here in the world at large. All of you ought to be able to say amen to that. When I think about the mess my life would be, of course, my life's a bad enough mess as it is. Thank you for not saying amen. Hello, Jeannie. It's so good to see you. Good to have you back. When I think of the mess that my life is, as it all, you know, I shudder to think what a predicament I would be in if I didn't have the Lord's church, the people of God. And when I say church, I don't mean this building. I mean the people of God. You know, that's what I mean. God's people that have, you know, committed to follow him. You know, if I didn't have them, I don't even want to think about it. I seriously doubt I'd be alive. I don't know if you're that way. My parents saved me from death, I know for sure, when I was an idiot. And you're thinking, well, you're still an idiot, and that's true. But maybe not as bad an idiot, you know. And then I think about how the preaching of God's word and being part of a local church and having that influence upon me, isn't it great to have that influence upon you? Did you know there is such a thing as a positive peer pressure? Y'all, there's way too much negative peer pressure in the world today. I mean, it's ridiculous the pressures that are being put on people to follow after the craziest nonsense. Well, I think the church is a place where you can actually get some positive peer pressure, people encouraging you to go in the right way rather than going the wrong way. Hey, is that a blessing or what? Oh, my heavens. Going to keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, I'm telling you right now, there's a peace to be had in following after this that cannot be had any other way. And I want to hopefully talk about that just a little bit. Now, first thing I want to mention, point number one, is what kind of peace are we talking about? What kind of peace are we talking about? Did you know there are lots and lots of people that actually leave Christianity because they do not understand the kind of peace Christ came to establish? You know, there's no doubt about it. I was thinking about, as I was trying to think about this sermon, I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 9, which I preached on many weeks ago. You've had time to forget, and it's okay. Remember Isaiah chapter 9 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What's the last one? The Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He brought peace. But you know what? A lot of people don't recognize that because they thought he was going to bring a different kind of peace than he brought. Y'all with me? thought he was going to bring a different kind of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And then when I thought about that, I thought about at his birth. You remember at his birth, the angels, Luke chapter 2 somewhere, the angels came down and they sang a hymn of praise. And they said, and on earth, part of that hymn of praise that the angels sang at Christ's birth was, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So can there be any doubt that Christ did establish peace? There is no doubt about it. But you know what? A lot of people leave Christianity because they misunderstand what kind of peace it was that Christ came to establish. They leave Christianity because they still see God's people, good people, godly people, Christian people, church people, they still see those people suffering. You see, they misapprehend that the peace Christ came, they think what he should have done was get rid of human suffering altogether. Well, if I may be so bold, I want y'all to know he is going to do that. It just hadn't happened yet. The day is coming when there will be no suffering whatsoever for the Lord's sheep. We're just not there yet. We're still kind of, you might say in the transit, we're still on this earth. I assure you, when you are in heaven and immortal glory, and your body has finally been conformed to the image of the resurrected Christ, there will be no suffering of any kind for you. Are you with me? We're just not there yet. So they misunderstand that. And they say, well, if God was so good, why does he let people suffer? Well, I'll preach you several sermons on that eventually. But I promise you, God is good. And sometimes, let's face it, we bring suffering upon ourselves. Say amen. And one way we bring suffering upon ourselves is we get outside the church. I'm going to tell you, now I know people, they get in a predicament, something happens, and they think they have a valid reason for leaving, but you don't. And I'm going to tell you this morning, whatever, it doesn't matter what reason a person has for going outside the city. When you go outside, you've just left the protective walls. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what the reason is, you're putting yourself at risk. We put ourselves in harm's way, don't we, if we do that. Other people think, with reference to the peace, they think that Christ came. You can't believe this, but they think that Christ came to establish a global peace, utopia right here on earth. And that's one reason why the Jews didn't want what Christ was selling in the first century. They thought Christ was going to come. They had been taught that when Messiah comes, he's going to establish a utopia, peace on earth. There won't be any more wars. There won't be any more hunger. No, you know, that's what they thought Christ was going to establish. And when Jesus Christ didn't do that, they said, well, he can't be Messiah. You understand what I'm saying? Misunderstanding the kind of peace that Christ came to establish is a big deal. People misunderstanding has caused them to leave the church and leave Christianity. Isn't that a big deal? What kind of peace was it? Well, it says here that the Lord's going to keep a guy in perfect peace, or a person. And notice what he's got to do. Whose mind is stayed on thee. I think about when Christ told the church, he said, you know, he told his apostles, he said, I'm leaving peace with you. I leave with you. Not as the world give I unto you. That's what he told them. I'm leaving peace with you. These are the very ones. Y'all listen. These are the very men. He said, I'm leaving my peace with you. These are the very men that he also said, the people are going to kill you. They're going to put you in prison. They're going to do all manner of evil to you. And they're going to do that thinking they do God service. So what was Christ talking about? You know, I'm leaving my peace with you, even though you're going to undergo these terrible things. What kind of peace is he talking about? Well, it should be obvious that we're talking about a spiritual peace. We're not talking about, listen, peace in the Scripture, I wish everybody understood this, peace in the Scripture does not mean that you have no more difficulties. Peace in the Scripture does not mean you have no more trials, no more tribulations. Now, okay, let's all confess we'd like that. I get so tired of trials and tribulations. And if I can bring it closer to home, I get so tired of how I myself mess up. Don't you? I mean, for us to choose to be miserable? You say, oh no. I'm going to have this pity party and I deserve it. Right? Or to, as the scripture says, we're not supposed to compare ourselves with others, but we do, don't we? And we compare ourselves with others, and because we don't measure up or whatever, then we, you know, sometimes I think our number one enemy is just our attitude. Well, if it's not number one, it's way up on the list. Would you agree with that? I mean, man, oh man. Okay. Now, so this perfect peace he's describing here in the context of in the city, this perfect peace that, and by the way, a perfect peace there does not mean, again, it doesn't mean that you have no difficulties, no woes. That day's coming, but you're going to have to be off this planet before that day comes. Right? Well, as long as you're here, you're going to have problems. And that makes me think about even just the way that you are composed as a born-again child of God. The way you are made. That is, the Lord put your new creature inside your body. Right? Do you love God? Do you love Christ? Do you hate sin? You got all that? Well, then you're a child of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're a child of God. And you've got this warfare within. Isn't that something? Even the way the Lord composed you, even the way you're built as a child of God right now, is proof that you're going to have problems. By the way, did you know you still have a carnal mind? You've still got a carnal mind. You've got a spiritual mind. You still think bad thoughts. You still think good thoughts. Is that going on in your life? Well, what's up with that? It is the nature of the born-again beast. Let me tell you right now, if that's your situation, don't you go out of this meeting house thinking you're not saved. You are saved, or you wouldn't have that dilemma. Are you with me? You wouldn't have that dilemma if you weren't a child of God. But look, the fact that you're like that still, that you still have a carnal nature, is one of the reasons why we have trouble maintaining perfect peace. All right, so I need to rush along here. So, all right. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now, what is the condition? Whose mind is stayed on thee. And why are you going to keep him in perfect peace? Because he trusts in the Lord. Every time I read that, one of the verses we had the kids memorize when they were little was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Can you quote it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Problem is, we want to trust in ourselves, don't we? Have you ever thought about how crazy that is? How illogical, how illogical is it to trust yourself more than the almighty, omnipotent God of heaven? I was talking to a dear friend the other day, and she was discussing some things that are going on in her life with me. You know, job, this, you know, things. And I told this precious person, I said, I love you, you're smart, but you're not smart enough to plan your life. We're going to be much better off if the Lord plans our life, if the Lord directs our steps. Okay? So, isn't it interesting how the less I trust myself, the better off I am, the more peace I will have, and the more I trust God. What if I can't understand it? You're not going to ever understand God altogether. Just get ready for that. He's above you. His ways are higher than our ways as far as the heaven is above the earth. We're never going to fully understand him. That's why we have to trust him. You may think, well, I wish the Lord would do this. I wish the Lord would do that. I wish the Lord would fix this. I wish he would fix that. Well, just you take that up with God. I'm really serious. We probably ought to mind our business and just accept that God's minding his. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm not trying to be mean. Okay, well, I got to thinking about this, and I actually asked Becky to help me prepare this sermon. I did. She may wish I hadn't said that. All right, here's what, if it's good, blame her. If it's bad, blame me. All right? But I asked her, okay, because I'm thinking about this. Okay, salvation has the Lord appointed for walls and bulwarks. The church is a walled city. I mean, it's, and you know, really, and again, like I said last week, it looks like it would be no benefit to you, or very little benefit to you, to be a church person. You know, if the outside world thinks church is inconsequential, right? Church is not important. You can do anything you want on Sunday instead of go to church. That's what the world's saying. The world is saying you can worship God on the creek bank just as well as you can in church. That's not true. You can worship God on the creek bank, but not as well as you can in the house of God. So the whole world's acting like church is unimportant. And church is one of the most important things we can any of us be involved in. And if we're going to have a perfect peace, and our mind is going to be stayed on the Lord, it's super important that we do that. So I was thinking, okay, what are things we need to do? And I've got five things here I want to mention to you to encourage you how to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Because if we're going to have this perfect peace, our mind has got to be stayed on the Lord. Some of these things offend me. Okay, number one, if you want your mind stayed on the Lord, number one is come inside the city. If you're not in the city, get in here. Now, if you don't know how to do that, we can take care of it. I assure you, just talk to me, we'll take care of that. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Are you with me? Remember what the Lord said. Remember they brought children before the Lord. I think about this all the time. I think about this not just when the boys are helping us lead. Isn't it great that they're in here? It's great those young people are in here. Young people have no clue how they encourage us old geezers. Do they? Young people think they're not important. Sometimes I think they are some of the most important. The young people. The children. They brought some children to Christ one time to get him to bless them. And you may remember the apostles got bent out of shape about that. Y'all remember that story? The apostles forbade them. And Jesus scolded them really good. He said, don't do that. He said, suffer the children to come to me. That is, allow them to come to me. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You know what that means? Young people are welcome in the church. They're welcome. We need them. I wish young people could really understand what an encouragement they are. It's so important. So, doesn't matter whether you're young or older. If you want your mind stayed on the Lord, if you want some of this perfect peace, I recommend that you come inside the city. Point number two, and this one's more difficult. I want you to turn with me now to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, let me read you a verse that's meant a lot to me for a good long while. Proverbs 17, that's one of my favorite verses. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That means having a happy attitude is good for you. But that's not the verse I want. The verse I want is verse 24. Proverbs 17, 24. Remember, we're talking about how do I keep my mind stayed on the Lord. Number one, come into the city if you haven't. Number two, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. Proverbs 17:24. Here's the part I want. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. And I think this is especially relevant today. Here's what I think that means, and I say this to myself. I think it means mind your own business. I think it also means we probably know more about what's going on in the whole globe than we need to. guilty. I drive Becky completely crazy because I still worry about English departments. We went up to David and Leola's party and drove through the campus behind the stadium and down through the campus and beside this building where I used to teach and went to grad school in the English department. And I'm thinking how crazy them people in there are. And I'm all worried about it. I'm worried about English departments. That's not my business. You know what I'm saying? And we know so much bad that's going on in the world today because of media. We know so much bad that's going on in the world today. Now, the reason I hesitate to talk about this, I am absolutely not advocating that we be totally ignorant people. I am absolutely not advocating that we become hermetic, live in a shell, that we don't know anything about what's going on. I'm not advocating that at all, but I am saying maybe if I'm on Facebook so much that it depresses me, I might want to think about that. That hurts me to say that. Because I may not be on Facebook, but I've got my fingers in other business that maybe I don't need to be in. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we should not be praying for the people in North Carolina. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you can't watch Fox News 5 hours a day and keep your spirituality, maybe you might want to rethink that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Look, he says the fool's eyes are in the ends of the earth. I'm not sure I need to know what's going on all over the globe. Anyway, but I'm not saying I want that rightly divided. I don't want you thinking. I'm advocating that we don't need to be involved in anything, that we don't need to reach out, that we don't need to be thinking of others. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm saying just on a personal, individual, case-by-case basis, do these things take your mind off of God? Do they make you depressed? They aggravate me to death. And I asked Becky about this. I said, and there again, I've already confessed to you that for 20 years I've battled negativity. I've confessed this to you, haven't I? I have had the tendency my whole life to be a negative person, just think about the negative rather than the positive. I've had to work on it. Maybe we all need to work on that a little bit. And I'm going to tell you right now, one way you can do that, you know what you need to hear rather than Fox News? You know what you need to hear rather than the latest post on Facebook? You need to hear a gospel message. You need to hear the truth of how you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to hear about the blessings that are available to you as you live in this life, the victories that are available to you. And then I tell you something else you need to think about. Don't forget how God has delivered you down through your life. Think about all the times God has delivered you and let that be an encouragement. Okay, what if I'm going through a problem? We are all going through problems. I love you all with all my heart, and I'm just looking at you, and there's not a one of you that don't have a problem in your family, something going on with a friend, first one thing and then another. Well, we may not see or know how God is going to get us through, but He's going to get us through. Are you with me? Isn't that great? Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. And then there are people who actually think their problems are the worst that have ever been encountered in the history of the world. Well, I'm not saying you're, but I've known people like that. That actually believe no one has ever been through anything like they are going through. When I know that people have been through worse, you want to know one reason why I know that? I know about the life of Christ. Can you imagine being perfect? Can you imagine absolutely and literally doing nothing wrong in the sight of Almighty God? And doing nothing wrong in the sight of God, and nevertheless suffering like Christ did. I don't know how men stand in pulpits and tell people if you'll behave yourself, your life will be a bed of roses, when all you've got to look at Jesus Christ, he behaved himself perfectly and his life was nothing but a bed of roses. Are y'all with me? Let's face it, Jesus Christ didn't have where to lay his head. Do you have where to lay your head?
Yes.
Do you? I guess I'm getting older. Okay, I know I'm getting older. But I'm going to tell you, nearly every night, when I crawl between the sheets, and that bed is soft, and the room is cool, and Becky's in the living room, I absolutely say, thank you, Lord. I'm not homeless. I don't live under a bridge on I-40. I'm telling you, we've got so much to be thankful for. If I could just look for the positive, I'd be far better off. Okay, anyway, I'm not doing very good. But I'll tell you right now, think seriously. Okay, if you can't read the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the whole thing, without getting mad, you might want to rethink that. Or balance it with an appropriate reading of God's holy word in order to counteract the negative with the positive of God's word. Now, I'm the guiltiest person in this room about reading stuff that I shouldn't have read. I've already confessed to you I've read more books than I should have. I have. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I'm still a bookworm. I'm just a bookworm. You know. I should spend more time. If I spent more time in God's Word, it'd be more, let's confess it, it'd be easier for my mind to be stayed on Him. And if my mind were stayed on Him, I would have much more likelihood of having this perfect peace that's being described in here. By the way, this peace is described elsewhere in the Scripture as a peace which passes understanding. That is, it is a peace that people can't comprehend. Now think with me for a second. If Christ came to establish a peace, a utopia, if Christ came to establish no more wars, no more hunger, no more sickness, no more pain, everybody would understand that. But Christ came to establish a peace not everybody understands because it's spiritual. It's inner. It's involved in following Him. I tell you right now, the degree to which we follow Him, the closer we follow Him, I think I would be willing to say the greater peace we would have. The more I know about Him, the greater peace I will have. Oh my goodness, if I really know and really believe that Christ saved His people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. I haven't quoted that in a while, have I? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He came to do that and He did it. If I believe that, then I've got a peace which I'm telling you just the peace I know from that. The peace I feel from knowing that is inexpressible. And you can't really explain that to somebody, hardly, can you? How much rest that gives you, knowing that God's people are going to be with Him. They're going to be with Him, y'all, according to Romans 8, in spite of what the devil does. Are you with me? Now, buddy, will that give you some peace or what? To know that the Lord says, they're in my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Does that give you peace? You know what that means? You can't pluck yourself out of His hand either. Isn't that great? I'm going to share something else with you. I'm not saying this to brag. Years ago when I was in high school, I gave blood. First time I ever gave blood, I wasn't, I don't know, I was in high school. I don't know how old I was, 17. My heart pumped so much I squirted out that blood. I mean, I might get him a pint of blood and it didn't take long. I mean, I was, had no fat on me and my heart was, and I was in shape. I gave that, anyway, but I don't know why I'm telling you that. I have no idea why I'm telling you that, but when I gave blood, they asked me, do you have HIV? I said no, and I was absolutely certain that I didn't have it. Are y'all with me? Would you be willing to admit that even in the moral code of Almighty God, there's a peace which passeth understanding? That's just one time. And I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm saying that to show you how great God is in telling us how to behave. When he tells us how to behave, it's for our own good. There's peace in it. Peace in it. I'll bring it a little closer to home. When I married Becky, first of all, I didn't have a clue how to be a good husband. I hope she didn't say amen. She has a right to. And I'm not saying I've got it all figured out now. But I will say this. I have more peace about it now than I did 30 years ago. Part of it is I've seen many people set the right kind of example before me, and I tried to follow that example. Guess where those people were? They were in the city. One of them is Brother Harold. Are you all with me? There are others. There are others. Do y'all understand? Okay. So mind your own business. If too much of that information out there bothers you, okay. Now, the next one, I want you to turn with me to Philippians. I want to make 2 points out of Philippians chapter 4. These are just things that I thought of how to keep your mind stayed on the Lord and therefore have more access to this peace he's describing here, and I must hurry. Philippians 4. I want you to look at verse 6, 7, and 8. I'll make two points out of this. The first one is in 6 and 7. And this is going to be, point number 3 is, pray more. Every time I discuss prayer from the pulpit, talk about what God's Word says about prayer, I hang my head in shame because my prayer life is so pathetic, I confess it. But that does not change what God's Word says. Listen to this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry too much about anything. Boy, that condemns me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I love that, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, God already knows it before I say it. That is true, but the Lord commands you to say it. It's right there in His Word. And if you do that, next verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you realize what he's saying? It's like that hymn that says, turn it over to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, how often do we take our burden to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm leaving it with you, but we take it back home with us? Right? We say, Lord, I'm leaving this with you, but then we want to carry the burden ourselves. I'm so guilty. So I believe one way we can have a greater peace, one way we can keep our minds set on the Lord is have a better prayer life. I'm the first to admit I need it. Then the next one, the next verse is the next point I want to make. Notice what it says. Finally, brethren, just let me read the whole verse here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. I hope I didn't miss any. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what part of my trouble is? I think about other things too much. I think about negative things too much. Look at all those positive things. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. That means, you know, morally upright and so forth. Lovely. Of good report. Things that are of good report. Things that are virtuous. Things that are praiseworthy. Think on these things. I ask you, would we be better off? Would we be better off? Think on those things. So, there's my list, and I want to close with one more. I'll tell you something else that'll really, really help you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, and that is just do things for others. Do things for others. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Do you know how much kind words can mean to someone else? Just kind words? A compliment, a nice thought can mean a lot. Encouragement, exhortation can mean so much to us. And would you be willing to admit that these things, if we did those things, it would really probably help us keep our minds stayed on the Lord more? You know, I know it's painful, and I know how easy it is to get in bad habits and do stuff more than we should. I'm worst in the world about it. But we need to think about it and have our mind stayed on the Lord more, because when we're our mind stayed on the Lord more, our peace increases. Our peace, right here while we live, day by day, tomorrow, the day after that, our peace will increase the more we trust the Lord, the more we know about the Lord. And y'all, even if the world goes crazier, which I can't imagine it being crazier, can you? But even if it does, if our mind is stayed on these things, we'll have that's why the peace cannot be understood. We have this peace even though the world's going crazy. We have this peace even though marriage is being argued against, right? We have this peace even though the whole world seems to be saying that bad is good. The whole world seems to be saying that evil is righteous. And yet we can have this peace personally in our hearts as we follow the Lord. And I just want to encourage you now as we close that if you have not made that decision to come into the city and partake of the protection that is in it, give you that opportunity as we sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. That's 154 if you'd like to.